For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Heather Shaw is Kidding. How you doing? Happy Wednesday. I don't know where you are. Depending on where you are, I hope you're either staying warm or cold. If you're on the East Coast, hope you're staying warm. I know the winter storm came through. There's some snow. East Coast, Midwest, wherever you are. If you're on the West Coast, near the fires, I hope you're staying cool. I don't know. Everything's awful, huh? Golly. I'm sure people in Montana have never been happier to live in Montana. I don't think there's any natural disasters out there other than meth. I mean, geez, the people in the Dakotas are really winning right now. You know, there's not much going on out there, but that also includes natural disasters. Yeesh. It's been a wild week, I know that. I was supposed to go out to Los Angeles to do an event for a festival I'm taking part in, the Napa Valley Stream Fest, out in, that's going to be in April 24th to 27th, doing the Napa Valley Stream Fest. I was supposed to go out to LA, tomorrow? But that got pushed. That got canceled. We were supposed to be on a Sony lot, this event that I was doing, and that lot has been swallowed by fire probably. So, you know, I gotta say, kind of relieved I don't have to drive or fly out to LA for a couple days. But thinking of LA, it's rough. A lot of people have lost their homes. That's fucking awful. It's all awful. And then, you know, the conspiracy theories that come out of it. We'll get into all of that. But first, up top, we got to talk about the upcoming shows. I'm in Spokane and Seattle next week. Those should be fun. Spokane Comedy Club and Seattle Laughs. That's the comedy club out there. And then next weekend, I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, doing a weekend of shows at Roar Comedy Club. And then upcoming shows, I'll be in Rochester, Syracuse, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Provo, Utah with the Mormons, Janesville, Wisconsin, Dayton, Kentucky. That's Dayton, Kentucky, not Dayton, Ohio. Everybody corrects me. They say, don't you mean Dayton, Ohio? No, I don't. I mean Dayton, Kentucky. I didn't know it existed until I got booked, okay? But it's a real place, apparently, maybe. Maybe I'll get kidnapped. Who knows? I think it's near Cincinnati, to be honest. So it's kind of like Cincinnati. And then I'm headed out to Texas, Fort Worth, Houston, Dallas, Tyler, Texas. That's a real place, too. Napa Valley. Going to go out to Napa for that Stream Fest. It's going to be a fun time, April 24th, 27th. And then in Phoenix, Arizona, and Los Angeles in May. If it is still standing, we'll see. And Westchester, Pennsylvania, Royal Oak, Michigan, and more to come. I believe we're adding a West Nyack, if that's how you say it, in New York, and then Louisville and Long Island. A bunch of other shows are being added, but those are the shows currently on my website. Go to heathershawcomedy.com to get those tickets. Leave a review. Thank you if you have rated and reviewed this podcast. I really appreciate it. I love reading the reviews because they're as unhinged as this show. A lot of people just drop in and just yell queef and then leave. And I like that kind of review. If I could just get 100 people to review this podcast with just the word queef, you know, that's all I need in life. Forget a birthday gift. And my birthday's not coming up, but forget a birthday gift. The best thing you can do is review this podcast with one word. Queef, and then leave in the middle of the night. Join the Patreon if you want. You get an extra episode of this podcast every single week. Last Sunday, we had my mother on. I did an episode with her from live from Florida. You know, that state's going to be sucked up by the ocean soon, huh? That state's on its way out. That state's probably got 10 years left before it just erodes into the ocean. The entire country is really something to look at. In slow time, we're watching this country just wash away, burn away, blow away. It's very interesting. But the episode of my mom was very fun. You know, she's a character. That's why I had her on. She's unintentionally funny. We talked a lot about everything, movies we saw, me as a child, her as a whore, as a mother. I was going to say whore. She's not a whore. I was going to say horrible mother. She's not a horrible mother. These are all lies. You know, she's a different mother. So we talked. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. I was in Florida. Thank you so much to all the people that came out to the Florida shows. Orlando, you were so much fun. Tampa, you were so much fun. Love Tampa. Side Splitters is a great club. The Orlando Funny Bone is also a great club. But that was my first time at Tampa Side Splitters, and I will be back. You guys were great. Starting off strong with a mouth fart. You got to do it. I'm glad I got out of Florida. You know, it's fine to visit, but it's very depressing. I lived in Florida for more than 10 years, probably almost 15, and I was drunk the entire time. So it's just a depressing. Every time I go back, I'm just reminded of me being a drunk. Not so much my parents' house, but Orlando. When I go to Orlando, I'm like, God, this is like, you know, it's like getting sober and then having to go back to the bars and seeing everybody you used to talk to. And you're like, I can't believe I talked to you for more than 5 minutes. You are a freaky person. You are a barfly, freaky, freaky person. Probably not a good person. I'm not saying if you're an alcoholic, you're a bad person. But a lot of barflies are creepy, weird, got issues, you know. But it was fun to be back in Florida for a little. Glad to be out of it. I love Louisville, Kentucky. That's where I live. I love it. It's very snowy here right now, but it's nice. I have a nice big house. You know, it's an affordable city. It's a historic city. There's a lot of history, all the building. I feel like I'm selling Louisville to people now. I feel like the people in LA should listen up. Get the fuck out of there. Find a city you like in America that's not on the coast and get the fuck out. Go somewhere where your money, you know, it actually means something. I was seeing some of these houses that were burnt down. Awful. Doesn't matter what, you know, if it was a rich person's house, a poor person, a middle class, or whatever that means in California. But it was just wild to me to see some of the pictures of these, even celebrity homes. I don't remember which celebrities it was that I was looking at these photos of, but it would be like so-and-so's house cost $6 million. And you look at it, and it looks like a house on my street in Louisville. It's not a big house. $6 million in California, especially LA, it gets you nothing. It's wild. I don't know who willingly lives there who has that kind of money. Your money does not mean shit. $6 million and you get like literally the size of my house in Louisville. Now, I know people are going to go, well, you're in Louisville. Yeah, but you know what? Louisville's not on fire right now. My air quality is pretty good. You know, tax is not too bad. I don't know. Matt Rife moved out of LA and bought a home with his money, you know, because he has money now. He bought a home in Rhode Island. Because he wanted to be able to afford something that would actually, you know, look like $1 million. It's crazy that $6 million gets you like a 2-3 bedroom, just little house. You know, I never was compelled to go to LA. And it just sucks though. I love visiting LA. Obviously the weather's gorgeous, but it is just these neighborhoods and these communities, imagine just your community being burnt to a crisp. And that's the saddest part of it. But, you know, I'm sure it'll rebuild. It'll take years upon years. I mean, think of all the insurance adjusters that have to get out there. And, I mean, even if you had fire insurance on your home, let's say you still had a mortgage, you got to pay off that mortgage. So if you do get fire insurance back from your insurance company, you get money back from your insurance company for the fire insurance, it's probably going to go to pay off your mortgage, not to buy a new home. Unless you owned a home outright and had fire insurance. It's just, it's a lot going on. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of conspiracies. You know, the minute the news broke about the fires, I thought, here we go. T minus one day until the conspiracy theories come out, and they are out. And it's, homeless people are setting fires. I don't think they're homeless people. I think it's people that you think are homeless, but that's just Californians. Every time I'm in LA, I play a game called homeless or hipster. You know, it's just like when I'm in New York, I play a game called European or gay. You know, I don't think homeless people are out there intentionally starting fires. I think that there are people out there starting fires for sure, but I don't think it's a lot of homeless people. I think it's a lot of maniacs. But you're getting a lot of conspiracy theories. I can't even delve into them with these fires. It's like, you know, I feel bad for what's going out there. Who the fuck knows what's going out there? You have Gavin Newsom on camera saying, yeah, I can't wait for the Olympics. We're going to rebuild for the Olympics. It's going to be great. What the fuck are you talking about? The whole city's a mess. their mayors get, you know, getting thrown under the bus by the fire chief, the fire, whatever, deputy chief fire lesbian in charge. Love that lesbian. She threw her mayor right under the bus. Somebody said, hey, do you think this would have been controlled better or handled better if you guys had not received a budget slash to the fire departments? She said, yeah. Yeah, if we had money, we could have fought this fucking thing. If we had water in the reserves, we could have fought this fucking thing. It's the mayor's fault. Mayor Karen Bass, who I have not heard once. I was at home. My dad watches Fox News. Not once did anybody on Fox News call her Karen Ass. What are we doing? Is that not a demeaning name? Because they call Gavin Newsom Gavin Newscum. You know, I was home. My dad watches Fox News all days because he's that's his version of brain rot. Gen Z has TikTok and millennials have TikTok and boomers, their version of brain rot is Fox News. And he was just brain rotting on the couch. And he's like, oh, yeah, they call him Gavin Newscum. And I was like, well, that makes sense. Why don't they call her Karen Ass? Is it because it sounds too complimentary? Like, look at that Karen Ass. But she is ass at her job. But I got to say, in Karen Bass's defense, she's a fucking mayor. I didn't even know mayors had any say. I got to be honest, and maybe it's because I've never lived in a, you know, the biggest metropolis I've lived in is Orlando or Austin, right? I've never lived in a New York City or LA. But where I'm from, mayors aren't shit. There are some cities out there who have dogs as mayors. I thought mayor was just like a fun little puppet mascot for the city. I didn't know they had any say in budgets or anything. I guess when you're the mayor of LA, that maybe you have to do some work. But man, I really thought mayors were just out there to like ride the parade floats once a year, wave at people, give keys to the city to like usher. I don't really know what mayors do. I didn't know they had much authority. I must be dumb. Or I've just never paid attention. Mayors are just the people who welcome you to their city and the airports. When you land somewhere, it's like, welcome to Chicago. I'm Lori Lightfoot. You know, I never really knew that mayors had a lot of control and they should not be given control. Look at Karen Bass. She should not be allowed to slash budgets or give budgets somewhere else. She should not be even looking at budget numbers. She should have no access. She shouldn't even have an access to buildings in LA. She should really just be reserved to being the city's mascot. She should have everyone in her cabinet should be just an animal from the shelter that they're trying to rehome, foster out. You know, this is our secretary of communications, a kitten, you know. Available for a home now. I don't think she should have a real job. I think if you're a mayor, you should have no say in anything. And you should probably be paid, I don't know, in free meal tickets from your local Raising Cane's. I don't know. I didn't know that mayors had a real livelihood in government. Maybe that's on me. Maybe I'm dumb, but if I'm dumb, the blame the American education system. That's where I got it from. But it has been very interesting to watch the conspiracy theories. I'm sure there are people starting fires, but can we be fucking for real? I mean, yes, this is global warming, but it's also an incredibly dry area with wind and heat and warmth. You know, and all it takes is somebody flicking a cigarette innocently, as you do flick cigarettes, innocently. It's never with vengeance that you're flicking a cigarette. It's just an innocent flick. Could start a fire. You know, probably should have been more prepared as a city who's very prone to it. It would be like Florida during hurricane season, just, you know, taking down all the hurricane shutters on everybody's house. You know, putting the sprinklers on 24/7, taking down all the windows in establishments during hurricane season. It was things like that. Could have been prevented, it seems like. But I'm enjoying the conspiracy theories. I can't even get to... I mean, people are starting to talk about tunnels now and like, oh, they're burning down LA because they're getting rid of all of the diddler's evidence. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, they're burning down Stanley Tucci's wine basement because they don't want the diddler's baby oil tapes to get out. What are we doing? Billy Crystal lost his home. He bought his home in 1979. He'd been living in it since 1979. This is devastating. He bought his home for like $400,000 in 79, which would be like, you know, $10 million now probably. In LA? It's devastating. It is weird seeing celebrities walking through the ashes of their home. I never thought I'd get a tour of Rainn Wilson's home, or Milo Ventimiglia, or whatever his name is, or Mandy Moore. You know, these people weren't doing Architectural Digest spreads. Dwight from The Office, I saw a video of Dwight from The Office walking through the framework of what his house was, being like, this was my bathroom. It's like, this is like a weird fucked up MTV Cribs. I don't like this version of MTV Cribs. It's like apocalyptic MTV Cribs. Dwight Schrute's just like, yeah, this is where this is where the magic used to happen. Remember when every celebrity would take you into their bedroom on MTV Cribs and be like, this is where I fucking fuck. Yeah, it's a weird apocalyptic MTV Cribs seeing Milo Ventimiglia, however the fuck you say his name, the guy from This Is Us and the Gilmore Girls, being like, yeah, this was our nursery. This was supposed to be our nursery. It's weird. I don't need it. It's not even dystopian. It's just like, who cares? I can't imagine this was a nursery at all. This is just asbestos floating through the air. Get the fuck out of that area. You are going to have cancer in 2 years. You're like a 9/11 first responder at this rate. Who else? I saw another celebrity. I forget who it was. It was an older white dude. Oh, Jay Leno. That fucking queen. Jay Leno was on there being like, this is terrible. I've never seen a natural disaster like this. This is like 9/11. Although 9/11 wasn't a natural disaster, but I was like, what the fuck are we doing? It's horrific. It's awful what's happening out in LA, but to compare it to 9/11, which is not a natural disaster. That was as natural as unnatural disaster. That was an unnatural, maybe government-operated disaster. But just Jay Leno being like, I've never seen something. This is crazy. And this is LA's 9/11. This is, all my cars are gone. All of my cars are gone. You know, I don't know. People are losing their minds. It was nice. I gotta say, the one person's home I'm happy was destroyed was James Woods. What a fucking prick. That guy's such a fucking loser, asshole, douchebag, cunt. This is going to get demonetized this episode, but I hate James Woods. If you don't know James Woods, Google him. He's super ultra conservative, borderline white supremacist. You know, he's like the worst part of conservatism, where it's like, it's not like he loves money, so he's conservative. It's that he hates black people. He hates women. But he dates, 20-year-olds. He's a 60, 70-year-old guy who bangs 19-year-olds. He's like a pedophilic grandpa who's incredibly racist, and like, of course coming out and being like, oh, the liberals have ruined this city. And it's like, you live here, motherfucker. You pay taxes. I don't understand how somebody like James Woods lives in LA. You're surrounded by everything you hate. Homeless people, black people, gay people, women that are denying you entry into their vagina. You live in a state that is liberal, that is run by the evil Democrats. Why do you live there, motherfucker? Go live in Mississippi. I don't understand how somebody can be so fuck. It's like Mel Gibson, I think, is like that. But it's like, bro, why are you living in LA? I don't like NASCAR races. I don't like loud rednecks who say the N-word. I don't like methamphetamine. So that's why I don't live in Daytona, Florida. Do you know what I'm saying? I stay away from that. The deep woods of Alabama. Get me the fuck out. I'm not setting up shop there. I don't understand that kind of mentality, but I was very happy to see James Woods lose his house. I gotta say it. I know. It sounds evil. Some people get online and they go, how could you wish pain or hurt on anybody? It's because it's James fucking Woods, okay? Sometimes it's good to root for the evil. I was rooting for that fire. Where's fire? Find James. Can the fire find James Woods? This guy's so fucking old, you probably don't know who he is. If you do know who he is, hopefully you understand. He's just a piece of shit. I also just think, like, somebody like that, who like clearly has no respect for women, he has clearly done some really nefarious shit to women. I mean, imagine what he was getting away with in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? So fuck that guy. I'm not going to say it outright what I think he's done, but you put it together. LA's on fire. TikTok's on fire. TikTok is supposedly in the last week of existence. It's hard to tell. It's been a wild ride. You know, I'm on TikTok. I started on TikTok. I'll always love that app. Supposedly supposed to go dark. And just by that, I mean not be available on the App Store. Sunday? Is that right? Is that when it... Yeah, Sunday would be the day of the ban. You know, it's been an interesting time over on TikTok because now creators and regular people are starting to believe it. That was a loud mouth fart. Sorry. Just thinking about James Woods does that to me. Yeah, it's a wild time over there. It's a lot of creators that, you know, here's who I feel for during the TikTok ban. I feel for people who make a lot of money on TikTok. I don't make a lot of money on TikTok. I really don't. There are ways that I could probably be monetizing a shit ton more on TikTok, but I just don't care. I really don't care. I just don't. People who are, that I feel the worst for are people like with TikTok shops that are bumping. I never went on TikTok shop because, you know, I have taste. But anybody or small businesses or content creators who only have a following on TikTok, that's who I really feel bad for because there are a lot of really good content creators on TikTok who just, for whatever reason, haven't diversified their following on other platforms. And that's okay. Like, if you're doing well on TikTok, it doesn't mean that you're going to do well on Instagram or YouTube's really hard to crack into. Facebook, why would you even want to be on there? I have 400 followers on my Facebook page, and it's like, I don't even know how. I don't know who's following me because every time I post a video, I don't even engage with the comments on Facebook. It's just a bunch of people being like, you fucking suck, you whore. And I'm like, I don't know how I have 400,000 of you following me. It doesn't translate. Like, I'm not killing it on Facebook. I don't know where these followers came from. I'm sure people thought I bought them. I promise you, I did not buy Facebook followers. I don't know who these people are. Nobody likes me on Facebook. They're commenting that, you know, I need to, you know, go fuck off and gay people shouldn't have rights. It's fucking crazy over there. But I do feel bad for the TikTok creators who are huge on TikTok, as they should be. They're so funny. And for whatever reason, they just never got to build up their following on other platforms because it sucks to have everything you've worked for and have been successful on one app just be wiped away. It sucks. And I'm going to miss a lot of the content creators if TikTok does go away. Molly Rutter, Corinna Fulgieri, who now goes by Rose, if you know, you know. There's just so many out there and they're not even like, you know, comedians or anything. They're just unintentionally funny people. And that's who I really follow on TikTok. I don't follow people who work hard at art or have real talent. I follow people who just hop on and are unintentionally funny. But it is a rough time. They're saying that it's going to go down. It's been a weird time on TikTok. A lot of sappy posts from content creators. Couldn't be me. Could not be me. It's a bunch of content creators getting on there very heartfelt. I don't like, one thing about me, I'm not heartfelt. Okay? I don't feel my heart at all. I never feel my heart. I'm going to be laughing where most people are crying. That's what I'll be doing. You know, it's a lot of content creators getting on and being like, thank you so much. TikTok has changed my life. And it has. And it has. Trust me, TikTok has changed my life. You know, I'm on social media now and being able to live my dream because originally of TikTok. But it's a lot of people being like, TikTok has... Thank you so much. This is such a community. It's just really heartfelt and I can't get into it. I can't, you know. I'm going to mock these people, but they do mean well. Thank you for the likes, the follows, the subscribers. The thank you. If you want to find me on Instagram, I am at fart69. It's a lot of that. I can't take it seriously. It's a lot of what I call award show thank you speeches. A lot of content creators getting on and going, thank you so much. I just want to say thank you to all of the people who are involved in making me the number one mukbanger in all of Missouri. I am the Missouri mukbanger for a reason. Thank you for following my journey, watching me stuff 14 chicken sandwiches into my mouth from Chick-fil-A every single day. You know, I love you guys. You love me. Thank you. I'm like, just play the wrap-up music already. Please, dear God. Play the wrap-up music. End this already. It will be awkward if TikTok does get extended because they're talking about doing that. And all these people went on and posted about, oh, I'm going to miss you so much. And then they just have to go back to regular content. Well, we have 270 more days of this app, so let's get back to it. This is why I think Britney Spears is a clone, you know? They might extend it. I didn't realize how many people are anti-Meta. And maybe I'm just in my little echo chamber because that does happen. On TikTok, a lot of people are anti-Meta, anti-Facebook, anti-Instagram. You will never find me on there. My old thing was like, if TikTok went away, I just feel like people are, it's an addiction. It's a social media addiction. I'm addicted to TikTok. I love it. I am proudly addicted. I don't care. I really don't care. Never once have I been like, I got to get off social media. It's ruining my life. It's ruining my mental health. My mental health has never been affected by social media. Thank God. But I know sometimes I just don't compare. When I see things on social media, it doesn't make me sad when I see somebody living a life. Maybe, I don't know what it is. I've never compared my life to other people's lives because nothing matters in the end. We're all going to die. So stop comparing yourself to other people, you fucking asshole. Just live your fucking life and be happy, huh? But yeah, it is going to be weird. A lot of people say they're not going to go over to Instagram. I think if you're addicted to social media, you're gonna get on something. Hopefully people go over to Instagram. Who knows? Get off Facebook for sure, though. That shit is a sinking ship. Facebook is a mental hospital for boomers. It just feels like every time I get on Facebook, I feel like, what am I at the high school reunion for all boomers ever? What the fuck is this? I feel like I'm going to get hate crimed immediately. And I am hate crimed immediately. There's a Chinese app called Red Note that is, it looks exactly like TikTok, but it is in Mandarin. It is in Chinese. But it, you know, it's a good fix. If you're a TikTok person and you just need that feeling of that same app where you can scroll and see videos that you enjoy, it's very hard to on Instagram. You can't just scroll and enjoy things. I don't really know what Reels is, but I post Reels every day, but I've never been on Instagram Reels. But a lot of people say it's not the same vibe as TikTok. If you want the same vibe as TikTok, go over to Red Note. It's hilarious. The government is banning TikTok because of, you know, the Chinese is stealing our data. Okay. And because they're doing that, everyone is flocking to Red Note, a Chinese app, a truly Chinese app. And China and America are bridging the gap of communication, and they're talking over there. It's real fun. One lady, she was a bigger lady. She posted a TikTok, and she goes, "Yeah, I posted on Red Note," and a Chinese person said, "What's up, fat man?" I love that. I love that Chinese people look at Americans and are like, "God, you're fat," and we just laugh at it because it's so true. We're a fat fucking country. Our government sucks. Our government's fascist. They're taking away apps when they could be working on, I don't know, healthcare or, you know, gun control, gun regulations. You know, kids are getting mowed down in schools because of school shootings, and all our government does is say thoughts and prayers, but we got to ban this fucking app that brings people together where people can make money off this app. It's crazy. I hate our government. Let's see. What are the extension here? What are they saying about this extension? TikTok could get a 270-day extension, so that's almost a year. That's, I would think, right? That's almost a year. It's like three quarters of a year. It's a bill proposed by Senator Ed Markey, who's very old. I'm surprised he even knows what this app is. Everybody in Congress is old, though. So I'm sure Ed Markey thinks TikTok is an actual fucking clock. I don't know. I'm sure he's like, "What? We need clocks. How else are we going to tell time? Extend TikTok. We need clocks." But he has pronounced on the Senate floor a bill that would extend it's called the Extend the TikTok Deadline Act. It'll give the company an extra 270 days to divest from its Chinese parent company ByteDance to avoid facing a ban in the U.S. I don't know. I'm really worried that I don't think ByteDance wants to sell TikTok. And I'm really worried about if they are like, "Fine, we'll sell it," because I've heard a lot of rumors that Elon Musk will be buying it, and we don't need that. We don't need that fucking freak buying TikTok and ruining it. Look what he did to Twitter. He turned it into a fucking red pill, weird fucking place. It's like the worst part of a free-for-all. You know, it's like incel island over there. Jesus Christ. TikTok is going to be quickly abandoned if Elon Musk buys it. If Mr. Beast buys it, those creeps. Mr. Beast has bodies in his basement. I'll tell you that much. Allegedly. Play this in 10 years when he's been arrested, huh? That guy's a freak. What a fucking freak. I really hope we just lose TikTok. If it gets sold to Elon Musk, I'm out of there, dude. That guy is poison. That guy is pure poison. He has all the money in the world, and yet he can't buy, you know, happiness. He can't buy people liking him. People will never like you, Elon. You've done this to yourself. You know what would make you likable? To sit down and shut the fuck up and tinker on your little Starlight shit. Starlink, whatever the fuck. And also get rid of the Cybertruck. It gives people with micropenises way too much power.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Carrie Underwood. Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about before we go on to Carrie Underwood? Ugh, that bitch. Yvette Nicole Brown called out Khloe Kardashian. So Khloe Kardashian was one of the celebrities who's been bashing the Los Angeles mayor, who is not a raccoon. Again, I thought mayors were just stuffed animals. Khloe Kardashian recently shared a post to her Instagram stories slamming Mayor Karen Bass over allegations that she interfered with the fire department's ability to handle the wildfires in the city. Khloe ended the post with, "Mayor Bass, you are a joke," okay? The star, the actress Yvette Nicole Brown, she was in Community and some other things. She then posted to Instagram an article from Rolling Stone that said, "Kardashians are among LA's worst water wasters, using 333,000 gallons over county limit in June." And this is from 2022. So the Kardashians, there was like a water ordinance in 2022 when they were in the midst of a drought, and every citizen was asked to conserve the water for the good of everyone else because, you know, fires and whatnot. And the Kardashians didn't give a fuck about that and used 333,000 gallons over the county limit. They said, yeah, not us though, right? And so Yvette Nicole Brown posted that article and said, "Is this also a joke, Khloe Kardashian?" I mean, it is true. Khloe, sit the fuck down. Because the Kardashians are getting out there and going like, "You can donate here." And it's like, you have all of the fucking money, bitch. What are you talking about? I would never donate to a link that the Kardashians posted because I feel like that link goes directly to their wallet. Khloe Kardashian is on Snapchat. I shit you not. She has posted in one day, 300 snaps, 300 Snapchat posts on Snapchat within a day of the fire. And it's not firsthand account shit. She's posting photos from like, you know, news source outlets and just going like, "I can't, unbelievable." And then she'll post another picture of the fire that she's not taking. Again, it's from like a news outlet. And she's going like, "Devastating." She's doing that 300 times. You know why? Do you know why she's posting 300 snaps on Snapchat? Because she monetizes it. She makes money off of the views of her snaps. This 30, 40-year-old woman on Snapchat. First of all, yuck. Second of all, she is making a shit ton of money, and she posted 300. These people can't get enough money. I am surprised the Kardashians haven't resorted to pedophilia yet that we know of. I mean, because once you get so rich, you start doing crazy shit. These people have not gotten enough of their money. It's fucking crazy. But, you know, it's time for the Kardashians to get online and bash the mayor. The fucking mayor. At least bash Gavin Newsom. Holy shit. Don't bash Mayor Bass. What is Mayor Bass, you know, she's a bad mayor. I don't disagree with that. But she's a fucking mayor. She's supposed to be there to, like, you know, give speeches at picnics, at 5K runs, at the market. What is it fucking called? The flea market. Not even a flea market. What's like a summer market you go to? I can't even think right now. I'm thinking about Khloe Kardashian monetizing off of everyone's devastation. It's so funny. it's just funny that she's got to be on Snapchat making money. It's crazy. All right, Carrie Underwood is going to be performing at the Trump inauguration. People are divided on social media, real upset about it. She's performing America the Beautiful. Carrie Underwood's a great singer. I love Carrie Underwood, and so does my fiance's, her song. Waiting all day for Sunday night. It's real country. Every Sunday night for Sunday Night Football, her song comes on. Woo, we party. People are upset with her because she's going to be performing at Trump's inauguration. She states, I love our country and I'm honored to have been asked to sing at the inauguration and to be a small part of this historic event. The last president to ever enter office before it becomes a pure dictatorship. She didn't say that part. I am humbled to answer the call at a time when we must all come together in the spirit of unity and looking forward to the future. People are upset with Carrie Underwood. How could she do this? Oh, unfollow. I hate you. Will you also be performing before he cheats? Asked one fan. Look, if you're surprised by Carrie Underwood supporting Trump, I just got to say, you need some common sense. You're not the brightest crayon in the box. You're a little dim. Okay, this isn't, I don't know, this isn't Beyonce performing at Trump's inauguration. Okay, that'd be a little like, whoa, Beyonce? Beyonce is at Trump's inauguration? This is Carrie the fucking Underwood. This is Carrie Underwood. She's from bumfuck Oklahoma. She's a blonde white woman. Every blonde white woman you know and have seen in public voted for Trump, just so you know. Every blonde white woman you have ever passed in public since the election has voted for Trump. You're telling me a blonde white bitch from Oklahoma would not show up to the inauguration of their favorite dictator? Yeah, that's that. I mean, that's an obvious. Carrie Underwood, I mean, she's probably paying to perform there. She was probably knocking on his door. Please, President Trump. I'll do anything. She's obviously a Trumper. I would be very surprised if Carrie Underwood was like, fuck that guy. I would be very, I'd be like, what? And she's a country singer. Like, that's kind of a requirement. That it's crazy. I don't know. I think people are just very naive, or it's like, no shit. What's next? You're going to be mad at Lance Bass for performing on a gay cruise? You know what I mean? It's weird. Like, yeah, no shit. This is what, you know, this is like obvious. She's a great singer. This is why you separate the art from the artist. You got to do it. We'll talk about Amanda Palmer at the end of the show. And that's another one where I've got to separate the art from the artist because she's a giant, gigantic douchebag. Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls. And now maybe, you know, an alleged Ghislaine Maxwell-ish kind of lady. But yeah, somebody said, sad to see you're a Trumper. To Carrie Underwood, don't ever call yourself an LGBTQ ally again. You're supporting the man that wants to abolish LGBTQ rights. You should be ashamed. Is she an LGBTQIA Disney Plus ally, or does she just like money? Because I feel like Carrie Underwood's like, oh yeah, gay people are fine as long as they don't breathe on me. I don't want AIDS. You know, I just feel like that's Carrie Underwood's thinking. Oh yeah, they're good. They're really good. I hate that they stole the rainbow from us because that used to be like a fun thing, and now they kind of turned it into an anal and scissoring kind of parade. But sure, yeah, gay people are fine. Just if they cough on me, I will call the cops. You know, she gives me that vibe. I've never looked at Carrie Underwood and thought, what a progressive queen. Know who these people are. If you've always known that Carrie Underwood definitely voted for Trump and is, you know, she's again. A white blonde woman from Oklahoma. It would be weird if she was pro-choice. She's a dumb country singing bitch. She probably thinks, you know, life begins at conception. Okay? What are we doing? I'm not shocked. And I'm glad he got somebody good because honestly, it would have been a shit show. I'm really glad he got somebody that can sing. I like her. I like her voice. I think she can sing. I wouldn't want to hang out with her. I wouldn't want to tell her I'm lesbian. But, you know, I'll listen to her Sunday Night Football song. That's the only song of Carrie Underwood's I listen to willingly. All right, let's get into our sponsor here. You know him, you love him. It's Lucy Brown, baby. Lucy Brown Coffee. We love you so much, Lucy Brown. And you're going to love Lucy Brown, too, because they have coffee subscriptions. You, If you haven't gotten a coffee subscription yet, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. It is the best investment of $20 you'll ever make. Every month, for just $20, starting at $20, you can get coffee shipped straight to your door. Whether that be whole bean, ground bean, whatever you like, sent straight to your door. Dark roast, medium roast, light roast. From roasters you've never heard of that are fucking delicious. Small, boutique roasters. People who give a fuck about how the coffee tastes. People that put time and energy into it. Not some fucking mass-produced factory for Starbucks. This is real, real good coffee, and every month it's different. You discover different kind of coffee, different kind of roasters. I fucking love it. I'm a big fan of their coffee subscription. You know that. I'm always touting them up, and it's not just because they're sponsored the show. I truly love the product. Enjoy their coffee without ever leaving the comfort of your home. All you got to do is fill out the form on their website and get coffee beans sent straight to your fucking door. You can be in your underwear getting fresh coffee. Stop spending money on fucking drip coffee out. Make it at home. Make it at home with delicious coffee from Lucy Brown. And it's all starting at just $20 a month. Are you fucking kidding me? All you got to do is visit lucybrowncoffee.com. That's L-U-S-S-I, browncoffee.com. Follow the coffee subscription button to get signed up today. And remember, if you use the code Heather Shaw is kidding, you'll get 10% off your first order. Do it. What are you waiting for? Get that energy. Get that delicious caffeine flowing through your blood. We love you, Lucy Brown Coffee. Thank you for sponsoring the Heather Shaw is kidding podcast. That was a water break. Did you hear it? I didn't gulp in the microphone. I'm a lady. I only mouth fart. I don't gulp. Do you think that somebody's given head and like gulped the cum down? Is that a weird thought to be like gulp, 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 gulp? Or do you think it's just a quiet acceptance? I don't know. I'll call my mom and ask her later. All right, Neil Gaiman. Let's get into Neil Gaiman. Now, I don't know. I may be pronouncing his name wrong. Neil Gaiman. But that sounds too much like Neil Diamond. And I think it's... I'm going to pronounce it gay man because I don't like him. He's a bad guy. Neil Gaiman. And this is another one where you should have some... you got to be able to read people. Neil Gaiman is a writer. He's a Sandman writer. He wrote something else too. American Gods. People love that book, American Gods. He's an author. He's a fantasy writer. He wrote The Sandman, Good Omens, American Gods, and Coraline, all of which have been turned into film and TV adaptations. So he's an author. He married Amanda Palmer, which was always my first red flag of the guy. Amanda Palmer is the lead singer of the Dresden Dolls. I loved their first album. I thought that, you know, I was a teenager when they came out. Amanda Palmer's from Boston. She was a street performer. She busked. She was a weirdo. She is a weirdo. I liked her music. It's a little theater kid energy. It's a little nerdy, but for the most part, I liked it. I think the first two albums she had were good with Dresden Dolls, but they're fucking freaks, and she's fucking annoying, and she's very problematic. You can read up on Amanda Palmer. She's just a fucking really obnoxious, self-righteous freak. I like her music. I do not like her. If I was trapped in a room with her, I'd gouge my eyes out. But he married her, and that makes me think, you know, birds of a feather, they flock together. Somebody like that doesn't marry somebody like that unless they're just like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Let me go back to this article here. Four new allegations are surfacing among nearly a dozen accusations from women who say award-winning novelist Neil Gaiman, I don't know how to say his name, I feel so bad, sexually assaulted them. Vulture published a report Monday outlining the new allegations against Gaiman, as well as allegations first revealed last year. Gaiman, who is 64, is an author. So, it's allegations of, and they've gotten proof from text, diary entries, emails with friends, and police communications. The youngest alleged victim was 18, but most of the women were in their 20s when the assaults occurred, while Gaiman was in his 40s or older. One woman explained that she began working as a nanny for Gaiman's then estranged second wife, Amanda Palmer, the freak, in 2022 when Gaiman allegedly assaulted her in a bathtub on his property. After surprising the nanny and joining her in a bath, Gaiman made conversation before physically assaulting her and directing her to call him master. As the nanny, Pavlovich, continued to babysit, she recalled more alleged incidents of forcible oral and anal sex without lubrication. Fucking ow! She says at one point she passed out from the pain, yeah, as well as being forced to ingest her own waste, all while being called a slave. This guy's a fucking monster. What the of course, though, a fantasy writer is not, you know. Somebody check up on Stephen King. What the fuck has he done? I'm sorry. I'm just saying, nerdy fucking fantasy writers, of course they want to force a woman to eat her own shit and call him master. What a fucking freak. Another woman named Kendall recalled Gaiman allegedly forcing himself on top of her and kissing her on a tour bus in 2012. One woman recalled a relationship with Gaiman that started in 2003, and she claims turned physically tortuous, at times beating her or subjecting her to rough sex. She explained to the outlet one instance in which she told Gaiman that she could not have sex because she had a painful UTI, but of course he ignored her wishes. I hope this guy, I hope he gets fucking hemorrhoids. I hope he gets paper cuts on his lips. And then somebody pours hydrogen peroxide all over his face. I'd like to cut off all of his limbs. I hate this fucking guy. What a fucking freak. These are not allegations you come back from. This is like really, this is not like Louis C.K. where it's like, I was in a room and he pulled it out and started jerking off. It's like, this is some fucked up shit. One woman began a sexual relationship with Gaiman while she must have not been a seeing person. Ugh, have you seen him? She began a sexual relationship with him while living on his property after her husband moved out of the house. In 2018, she recalled being in a vulnerable place. Gaiman allegedly reached down her pants. She alleges their encounters continued for 2 years, including an instance where while Caroline, the woman, was reading to his then 4-year-old son in bed, Gaiman climbed in and pulled her hand to his penis with the boy in between them. What a fucking freak! Now, this is not surprising. He married Amanda Palmer. She is also god-awful. There have been allegations that Amanda Palmer kind of was aware of all of this and kind of was like the Ghislaine Maxwell of it all, bringing women to him. That, I don't know. I haven't read too far into it, but wouldn't put it past her at all. She's a fucking freak. The lady who he fucking made touch his penis in front of a kid ended the sexual encounters and was forced to move off of his property in exchange for signing a 16-page NDA and a payment of $300,000. So is she like violating the NDA? What happens there when it's a crime? I don't know. I should ask my lawyer, soon to be wife. Hey, if somebody signs an NDA, but it's a crime, can they talk about it and not be sued? Vulture also spoke to friends of his second wife, now ex, who claimed the couple had an open relationship. So this is with Palmer. One woman, referred to as pseudonym Rachel, allegedly started a relationship with Amanda Palmer before Amanda Palmer introduced her to Gaiman. Though she said there was never an outright breach of consent, Rachel told Vulture her experiences with Gaiman involved demands that often frightened her or hurt her. These people are just fucking monsters. They're just fucking monsters. Gaiman and Palmer divorced in 2022. According to Vulture's report and interviews with her friends, Gaiman's actions seem to have contributed to the divorce. So Amanda was like, that's enough rape. It's enough rape. Stop. You're making women touch your dick in front of our son. We gotta divorce. I'm sick of it, Neil. Though it appears Palmer also knew about some of these incidents when she was asked, when she asked Pavlovich, the babysitter, to babysit for her son. The babysitter claimed she eventually told Palmer about the incidents, including one in which she was raped and made to ingest Gaiman's urine while his child was in the same room, which apparently shocked Amanda Palmer and led her to suggest Gaiman get counseling. I love that that's, if somebody came to you and said, hey, your significant other raped me and made me drink their urine. Do you think your first response would be like, dang, they need some counseling. Who makes somebody drink pee? He should go talk to somebody. He needs to really figure out, point out his emotion on this emotion wheel. I mean, that's fucked up. I certainly, that would not be my first thought. My first thought would be, well, we got to kill him. I guess we got to take him out. Maybe I should call, I don't know, the feds. There's got to be some CP on his hard drive. We can get him. What a fucking monster. I mean, these are real, real dark allegations. This isn't just like, he was weird to me on an elevator. This is like some really dark shit. Neil Gaiman's going down, rightfully so. Fuck that guy. And once again, it's not all men, but it's always a man. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up here. I had one more thing I wanted to talk about. The Last Showgirl. I saw The Last Showgirl. I talked about it a little with my mom. But I did want to talk about it. It is a fantastic film. It's a little bit artsy, but it is a fantastic film. I wasn't fully aware who all was in it. So The Last Showgirl is a movie by Gia Coppola, who's a great-granddaughter of, or maybe just granddaughter. I think great-granddaughter of Francis Ford Coppola. So a little Nepo baby-ish, but whatever. I don't really care. It stars Pamela Anderson. She's like a 57-year-old woman living in Las Vegas who has been a showgirl, a Las Vegas showgirl, for like decades, right? And it used to be a huge thing in the 80s, 90s, and she was always like, you know, she's kind of basking in the glory of what once was showgirls in Vegas. But it's now 2024 in Vegas, and she's a showgirl, and like, you know, nobody goes out to the showgirl shows. It's very light audiences. They're closing down the performance. They're closing down the show. And the movie starts with her kind of finding out, and it just kind of follows her life a little. It's an hour and a half. It's not too long. You know I love a good 90-minute movie, as they should be, because I also saw Gladiator 2, and that was like 4 hours, and I wanted to kill myself. It wasn't that bad of a movie, but it was long. But The Last Showgirl also stars Jamie Lee Curtis, who fucking kills it. Jamie Lee Curtis is so fun to watch in movies. She plays a completely different character than you're used to seeing with Jamie Lee Curtis. She's like this trashy cocktail waitress who's way past her prime. You know, she's in her 50s, 60s. She's like a trashy cocktail waitress who's like has no future, has not set up herself for success. She just kind of lives day by day. She's in it. She's fantastic. Brenda Song is in it as one of the showgirls. Kieran Shipka, I don't really know how to say her name. She was in it. Dave Bautista's in it. It's just a very good movie. It is a bit artsy, so you're not going to get a lot of like, there's not a huge plot, okay? It just kind of follows Pamela Anderson as she realizes that the show she's been a part of for decades and it once was like, lived in the glory days of, it was so popular, this now it's this piece of shit show that nobody goes to, is closing down. That's the plot. But it's just, I really enjoyed the movie. I can't wait to watch it again. I'm going to make my fiance watch it. It's a lot of shots of like, you know, Pamela Anderson on the strip and just kind of like, you know, behind music. But, you know, there's also really good acting. Pamela Anderson acts her ass off in this film. She's a great actress. I get why she was nominated. I really enjoyed this film a lot. Really good acting. I like a bare bones plot line sometimes. It's a movie on the characters. It's more just a character driven movie. Really good acting and real. Very real. Like you know these people are out there in Las Vegas right now. And I'm not a fan of Las Vegas because I never got to experience Las Vegas as a drunk. It is so gross and dirty to me. I like going to Las Vegas to perform shows or like, you know, to go see a show. The Sphere's really cool, but I mean, it's just a giant toilet, a Disney World for people with alcohol substance abuse issues. It's a reason to go like, you know, cheat on your wife and get really drunk and lose all your money. And it's things I don't like to do. But it really is gritty and it shows you like that real Las Vegas. And I know people that live in Las Vegas and they're not like this, but there are people out there that exist like this. And it's a very good character study. And it's also like very real, a bit sad, but very good acting. I really enjoyed it. More artsy fartsy. If you need something that's constantly stimulating and constantly, you know, going and there's a lot of action, then you're not going to like this. It's not even really a drama. It's a drama-ish, but I liked it a lot, so I can't wait to watch it again. Go see The Last Showgirl if you'd like. I think it just came out in theaters last Friday. I saw it in the theaters. You can watch it at home. It's you're not missing. You know, you don't have to be in the theater to watch this. I'd probably just watch it at home, but it was very good. Shout out to Pamela Anderson. So cool seeing her really kick ass. I mean, it's cool to see these old 90s actresses being nominated. Demi Moore and Pamela Anderson, people who were written off, you know, years ago, coming back and being like, and what, bitch? Weinstein's in prison and I'm here, bitch. And what? It's really fun. I'm really liking this 2024 award season, even though we're probably not going to see any more award shows in LA because, you know, it's on fire. Upcoming show reminders. I am in Spokane, Washington and Seattle, Washington next week. Next weekend, I'm in Springfield, Massachusetts. Come on out. It's at the MGM Casino. Talk about casinos, baby. I'm there all weekend. I'm going to lose some money. Later this month, I'm in Syracuse and Rochester, New York. Next month, I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Provo, Utah, Janesville, Wisconsin, Dayton, Kentucky. And then I'm also in Texas later on in this year. I'm in Fort Worth, Houston, Dallas, Tyler. Later on, I'm in Napa for the Napa Valley Stream Fest, April 24th to April 27th. Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles. I love you guys. I'll be back out in May. I hope things will be fully rebuilt by then. Just kidding. May 17th in L.A., Westchester, P.A., May 30th, Royal Oak, Michigan. Can't wait to get out to Michigan. Never been to Michigan. I've flown through Detroit, but I've never stepped foot in Michigan. Very excited. Royal Oak. I'll be out there in June, and we're adding some more shows all the time. Join the Patreon for an extra episode of this podcast every single week, every single Sunday. You get it, motherfucker, starting at just $3 a month. Patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. And as always, rate and review this podcast to prove you're not homophobic. I love you so much. Stay safe out there if you're in America, and stay gay forever. See ya.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at Aura.com/listen. That's AURA.com/listen.